Alright then guys, what is going on? My name is Canal Plays and welcome back to the Crimson Cast. This is episode 3 and boy, we've got an absolute banger for you. So far we've had a couple of Twitch streamers on the show, also known as Anubis and OBKittyCat, but today we're switching things up, moving more into the YouTube scene, and this guy is definitely somebody that you want to be watching out for. If you don't know who he is already, then make sure you YouTube the name straight after this. But right now we are introducing a Destiny YouTuber with over 27,000 subscribers, 5.2 million views. This guy's all about the glitches, farms, and all-out sneakiness. The awesome and well-informative Wilhelm Scream. How's it going, brother?
It's going good, man. Thank you so much for having me here. It's really an honor. I've been a huge fan for at least a couple of years, and you know,
it's been crazy. To be fair, we've known each other for such a long time. My shout out to Sorable for hooking up that one.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you know people but you don't know anybody, but you know them, and you just try to keep up with everybody's progress, and you're just always, you know, happy to see everybody out there still doing and pursuing everything. So, you know, like, again, definitely. Yeah, big shout out to Sorable. Yeah.
Right, okay, so we're going to kick straight into this. I'm not going to sort of like sidestep or anything. We have a thing which we call the icebreaker, and that is essentially like a bunch of questions which I'm going to ask you and you've got to answer pretty much as quickly as you can. Okay. So far, the answers
the name,
have
by
been
the way.
Hilarious.
I love the pun.
it was really, really well thought of. I can't actually believe we managed to come up with it, but this one should hopefully... I say break the ice, but I've known you for a fair few years. So this one should make the viewers a little bit more aware of the weird, quirky things that you like, all right?
Okay,
so number one, tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee.
Number two, cereal in the morning or at night?
At night.
Pineapple on pizza?
Have tried it.
Ooh, console or PC?
PC, now.
And Destiny Master Race.
Titans.
Ooh, okay.
Even though I play Warlock.
We've had one person say pineapple on pizza is a good thing. It blew me away.
It's not a bad thing. It's just not an everyday thing. It's not like you order pizza every day and you go, give me some pineapple on there. But once, maybe every couple of years, somebody decides to do something really quirky, that's about as far as you go.
Right, okay. So let's jump into you, all right? Taking it back, and I mean way back. Where did your sort of like love for video games first make its real rise up?
Well, I mean, I've been playing games since I was... I really can credit my dad, because my dad, he's a doctor and a total nerd, and he was just always, always had like the best electronic stuff, like... We have, I think I still have at his house, we have like the original copy of Star Wars, like on Laserdisc.
Oh,
and I
wow.
think it's like actually like worth a lot now, because you can't find them anymore. And it's, I think, the highest like quality you could find something like that. And he had all of that stuff. So he had an Amiga computer back when they were better than Macintosh, better than Windows, because Windows was just in DOS, I think, at the time.
And yeah.
Loaded up with like floppy disks, but it had like amazing games on it. It had like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. It had Wolfenstein came out for the Amiga.
Oh man, that was a game.
And that was like at like literally maybe 4 or 5 years old. I remember playing Wolfenstein with him on an Amiga. It's like one of the first games I ever remember playing. Like that and Carmen Sandiego are honestly two of the first games I remember playing before I remember playing like Super Mario Brothers or any of that stuff. Like that came later. I didn't get into the consoles until after I was playing on that computer.
Wow.
So that's kind of where it started. And then it went to Sega and then, you know, all the consoles up until... I played on PC most of that time too, but I had a few of the consoles.
Definitely.
Through the years.
Definitely. Yeah. So my man's been gaming since he was... before he was walking. Like, he was... crikey. Okay, so you created your channel back in January 2014. What was it that made you sort of like want to make start in videos? Like, who inspired you throughout your journey so far?
Well, I was like I always watched... I was big into YouTube. I went to school for multimedia and like advertising and film production, actually. But I ended up working mainly as an editor after I graduated from college.
Yeah.
So I had like a company I did that for a while. And then I was through college, I played a ton of Halo. I mean, I played a ton of Halo 1, Halo 2. I did a lot of competitive Halo 2 when I was at college and some Halo 3. And then I kind of stopped doing it for a while because I just was doing more work. But then I started to get back into it and I found this channel, you know. Well, actually, I found this one YouTube channel by somebody who everybody knows now, Ninja. And okay. It was an edited montage of his playing Halo Reach at the time.
Oh, wow.
And there was a clip in it of him playing with like a camera facing him and talk. And I was like, what is this? Like, I had no idea that streaming or anything like that existed at the yep. time. So I just was watching it. I'm going like, what is, you know, like, this is really cool. Like kind of a highlight reel. I never thought to do a highlight reel in this sort of format, I guess.
Yeah.
Like really highly edited, you know, like with some, I thought of maybe doing some like stuff where you maybe put some clips back and forth together, but never, it was really high budget. And I was looking at the editing, I'm going, man, whoever did this, they did a really good job doing it. And it's getting a, you know, a lot of traction online.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I could do something like that. Maybe just get some clients, see if any of these other guys out there, who, you know, Halo guys want an editor.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of that and I started doing, playing a lot more Halo to kind of get into the scene a little bit more again. And then kind of got back into the competitive scene. I actually became one of Ninja's mods for a while back in the day.
Oh, wow. Like,
actually right around the time that, Destiny, the original Destiny came out. And at the same time that I started I was in his raid team. I started playing with him and his brother for a bit.
What?
At that time, I wasn't still making any videos. I kind of created a channel because I just wanted to upload maybe some other stuff, but maybe some gaming stuff potentially. But I had actually started helping a buddy of mine who was playing a lot of Smite start to put his stuff and curate his channel on YouTube. And he started to have a lot of success. He started getting, you know, some 10, 15, 40,000 views on some of his videos. And I just started realizing, man, you know, this is really what multimedia is today.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where it's going. Like anything I was doing before working for on a client basis, I mean, that still might be there, but it's really just going to be putting stuff for people online. And that's how they generate, you know, all their business.
Yeah.
So I just thought I need to just start doing more of this. And I did. So I was helping my friend. I was editing his stuff, putting it online. Really just he was just playing, and I thought, you know, I don't play Smite, but I could certainly play what game that I like and put stuff on there and see how that goes. So that kind of all culminated at the same time, where it was like I was helping a buddy, I started playing with Ninja and his brother and a guy named Fizzer. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
Another guy named Broly Bro, who I think was also a streamer at the time, but I don't know what happened to him. And I still wasn't making any videos, but then then Destiny came out, and that's when I started, like, obviously I was playing with them more, and I started a channel around that time. So
that's,
I was like,
crazy.
You know, Destiny's out, I'm really enjoying Destiny. It's coming, being a Halo guy, it sort of seemed the next extension of that, and I was doing it actively with a fairly, you know, well-recognized group, although nowhere near as well-recognized as he became later on. But that's how I started doing it. I just started making some Xur videos and stuff like that and just kind of covering little things. And then, you know, eventually over time, you start to branch out a little bit more. But that was the basis.
Wow. Okay. I expected your story, your backstory, to be, like, really interesting. I didn't quite think it would be, like, you were doing things for clients and then Ninja ends up getting involved. How the hell has that?
Worked for him. I never did anything specifically for him. I just played with him, and I just happened to be, I ended up watching his Twitch channel for years because he was sort of the first person I knew about in that space. And I was like, okay, well, I recognize this person. I got to see what they're doing. Like, what is this whole Twitch thing all about? Because at one point I thought about, I mean, I did do streams on Twitch, but it just never was really the thing that I enjoyed doing in the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I was watching him for a while, and, you know, there was just, it kind of went through a period where I was watching him, you know, I kind of was, I guess, involved enough in the chat, you know, just little things, supportive things, but just talking. Yeah. And but just an observer, just a fan, you know, and just sort of interested in what was going on Twitch and in Halo, because I was a big fan of Halo. And all of those things just kind of ended up blending together at one point, which just resulted in me starting a YouTube channel. And it's just a hobby and continuing it on for so many years now.
Well, that hobby has definitely paid off now, my friend. Has definitely paid off well now. Because we were looking through your channel just before, obviously, we got into this call and that. And like, you're doing really well. Like, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of views on every upload that you put up. Like, it's crazy.
It's, you know, it's, it, I don't really understand what makes certain things happen than others. You know, I mean, it has been, I guess it, you know, you do this for a while, and you just kind of, I guess, hit a stride at some point, but I really will never really quite understand what one person will watch over another, because most of the people who I watch and that I admire, you know, are, I mean, there's some, certainly some really big people out there, but yeah. I end up watching channels that I've just, I'm friends with most of the time. So people that I know.
That's what I'm about most of the time anyway, to be fair, unless I'm doing like research on specific things or there's something specific that I want to sort of like look at. So using the search engine, as far as my sub box goes, there's probably like a handful of people and they're people that I genuinely know. So I fully understand that. So looking a bit more like at your YouTube content and that, obviously you love your glitches. You love your glitches.
I do love my glitches, yes.
So like, what is it that kind of like made you start exploring the game into that sort of like that depth, that angle of breaking a game per se, but also being able to abuse it? I know it sounds really bad, but it's just genuinely not. If it's in the game, as far as I'm concerned, like, it's fair game. But like, what made you want to go into that angle of the game, like, and be able to find things that people can abuse to benefit their own sort of means?
Well, I think for in Destiny specifically, it's just from playing a lot by myself, because at first I was playing on Xbox and I had sort of a group that I played with. Then they were really primarily the PvP guys, and I love, you know, like the Crucible and stuff like, but as far as like getting stuff out in the world, I ended up doing Nightfalls most of the time by myself. So early on in Destiny 1, I was just kind of, I was always looking for a way to get an advantage when you had to do something completely solo, you know, with no help whatsoever. So, and those things I just ended up finding the most interest in. I was like, boy, it's really fun. It's almost sort of fun to do that in this environment of like sort of a progressive story or PvE environment, which though I would do this kind of stuff in like Halo back in the day, which is really, I think, where my interest stems, or even before that, like Unreal Tournament. I'd never done it in that format. And it kind of was just like, I enjoyed the viewing experience when I would see things like that so much that it just sort of guided my interest that way. But before that, like going back to Halo 2, like finding like the Easter eggs and that was like such a fun thing. And there was places you could get outside the map. I don't know if you played Halo 2, but there was like an area where you could get out of the map. And if you jumped to several different points, I think it was in the Scarab mission, you could find this, it was just a pulse rifle, like a Covenant pulse rifle that shot rockets.
What?
And it was just put in the game. Yeah, it was amazing.
That's crazy.
It took forever to get there.
I liked Halo, but I never really played it like too in depth, like, because Halo for me was like that. It gave me that little fantasy world, but I was so like engrossed in the story that I was kind of like, I've completed that game now. When the hell is the next one coming? So for me, it was kind of like I didn't delve too much into like the game itself, and I really regret doing that. Especially when you say things like that rifle with rockets that come out of it. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it was it took a long time to get there. And then like before that, me and my buddies, we used to make we never did anything with them, sadly. So somewhere these tapes, these VHSs exist of us like recording like warthog jumps in the original Halo when the warthog didn't blow up. So you just go into a map, like a Crucible map, and you just continually kill one another right in back of the Warhog, so your grenades would drop on the ground, because when you die, all your grenades dropped on the ground. So you just get this big stack of grenades, and you just throw one in there, and it light the torch for all of them. You could send, like, a Warhog, like, flying. Like, I mean, like, literally, like, you sent a punt. Like, you could just... We used to put up, like, field goals. You just punt this Warthog, like, through the air across maps. You can do it with a tank, too. It was amazing. So we used to do stuff like that. And, like, you'd also, in Halo, you were your ability to play the game was kind of based on how many of the exploits you knew. Like, there were certain places where you could kind of duck into a wall, or you could, like, double jump in a way. In Halo 2, there was the Gandhi jumping, which was where you, like, jump in the air and, like, crouch in the air and, like, bullets just ricocheted off of you, you know,
or so or literally for you it like doing things in games that you just weren't meant to do has always been something you were always sort of destined to do in a way.
Like, it's my definition of skill to a point. Like, it really is. Like, for me, like, the more of those things you know, like, that's kind of where I think, like if you know all of that stuff, you're really good at the game.
Yeah,
most likely. But not, I mean, not necessarily, but your knowledge of the game, at least in my perspective, was always kind of, you were never going to beat somebody who knew all those things, no matter how good you were at just playing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So like, with that being said then, like, how much time does it take for you to, like, do your video from, like, start to finish? I mean, like, do you have to sit there and kind of stumble across something for you to find it? Or do you literally go, you sit down at your desk and you go, right, okay, we need to find something for this to do this, sit down, figure all of that out, get your recordings done and all that sort of thing? Like, do you do it, like, part-time, or are you
definitely part-time? Mostly I do almost everything on, like, one given day, so I'll usually do a few in a row, and most of the time I just spend if I want to look up something. I mean, I usually want to know about what's going on as far as any of this stuff is concerned, as soon as possible. So I usually, I'll look on Reddit, because that's a great source of information. Like, Reddit always has people just posting about things that they've happenstancely found. So I love going on there, and I'll look through there. And then usually I'll go and I'll try it, and I can see if I can get whatever they're describing to sort of take place or something like that. But and then there's sort of the things that, you know, by the time you hear about them, everybody's sort of hearing about them as sort of general knowledge. But it's the kind of things that you or I might know about because we're actively playing often and doing this as, you know, a part-time or a hobby thing. And most people don't. So I always just think about, like, what is the average person who may be playing this game once a week by themselves? What are they looking to do on any given day when they log on? Because this game can be overwhelming too. It's like, you get on and there's so much stuff to do. You
might, so many flashing icons all the time.
It's true. I'll be honest. Like, the fact, I know that we're losing some planets, and I never want to lose anything in Destiny, but I know that they're going to be there potentially for other uses later. So I'm not, you know, too sad, but I will kind of I will enjoy a little bit more of a streamlined process. Not to say I want less stuff to do, just kind of a little bit more concise. When you go to the your, like, guide screen, like, on all destinations, you're like, oh my god, where do I start, you know? Like, and you want to try to get a synergy going as much as possible, but sometimes it's just impossible.
Definitely. So while we're talking about the game, Twitter is an absolutely crazy place. Like, for me personally, I live on Twitter. I spend so much time on Twitter. It's disgusting. Are you much of a Twitter head, or do you not?
I do go on Twitter. I mostly just go to see what you know, people I know are posting about or things like that, and I hit some retweets. I don't tweet myself too often.
About Bungie devs.
Nobody seems to notice, so I don't really. But I do go on there for some news, certainly. And like when there's a big thing going on with Bungie, you know, usually I'll go there for updates for the most part.
Okay. So do you, like, because we usually do a segment here where we kind of go, like, how well do you know your devs? Do you pay attention to that, like Cosmo or DMG or like Deej, the god himself? Do you watch much of what they say on Twitter, or are you kind of like supporting the friends and oblivious to most else?
I am aware of stuff so much as when something is going out and I see it sort of as a trending news article, meaning I've seen maybe three or four other people. I won't see it directly usually on my Twitter feed. Sometimes I will, but usually I'll see a retweet from somebody else with something that Dee just said or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I'll peruse through it and I'll give it a retweet just so anybody who might be following me might also see it. General Destiny kind of news, but yeah. Beyond that, I don't really follow too carefully. Like, I don't know any particular trend in what they sort of geared towards specifically.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, with the game at the moment, it's in a bit of a weird stagnant place where obviously we've hit Destiny's dead stage again, and we are kind of waiting for that next DLC to drop, which is obviously now going to be November. We've obviously been given quite a few leaks as far as like a little nuzzle points that they've given us. Like today, I think they posted up about the whole stasis subclass. Have you seen that?
I did. I saw the trailer. Yeah.
Okay. So now obviously we've seen the stasis subclass. Like, what's your thought on them bringing the darkness subclasses in? How do you think it's going to change the game? Like, do you think it's going to sort of like give us different like alternate routes, or do you feel like it's going to be a good or bad thing to the game?
I think it's ultimately going to be a good thing for the game. I mean, a new subclass, I think, has been something that's actually been needed for a while, and I actually think this was planned for quite a while. Like, I heard rumors about this being slated to be released like a year and a half ago. Not that it was slated to be released a year and a half ago, but that the new subclass was already under works a year and a half ago. So I think anything like that is good. From what I saw in the trailer, they look super interesting. And for me, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to sort of do some breaking, game breaking like to do. So that's always fun. Some of those, that one grenade, I think it was the Hunter threw that was able to
bring that wall out of the floor.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, there's going to be plenty of climbing to do. I think it's going to be, it's ultimately just what goes along with that. I mean, a subclass is certainly fun for me because I'll be doing a lot of those other things outside of that. You know, for the general Destiny audience, which I'm not really sure if I know what interests them on a daily basis beyond, you know, an individual exploit that I might bring to their attention. But, you know, like anything new to this game, I'm going to love and I'm going to enjoy and I'm going to play till the very end. So I think a lot is going to depend upon what comes along with that. But as far as like the story goes and the PvE elements that they're bringing in and the lore, I actually think that they're at a really interesting narrative arc, which I've been saying I've had a really big theory for quite a while that Marisov is actually Savathun, and I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm right about that.
I never thought about it like that. That's actually quite interesting.
Yeah. I understand that theory. I'm the proponent of that theory. But I have to be honest, the person who came up with it is actually another friend of mine named Reaper Guyver, who actually does some live streaming himself. But he came up with this whole big crazy theory and he's like, read this. This was like maybe a year ago and
it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Especially like obviously with Savathun being such sort of like a, not like a primary character, but like quite a big thing at the moment. And obviously Aldrin's now gone completely quiet. So I think there's a lot like that can kind of come from even like the next 6-7 months. Like, I think it is just going to be completely flipped on its head. I think that for me personally, Destiny has always been, it's been that mysterious place for me, that place which has kind of like led me to finish playing my games and doing stuff like that, sit down with the missus and kind of like just switch off to whatever she's saying and just be like, right, this does not make sense. Like, how is this attracting into this next bit, and how is this going to move into future storyline, and they amaze me every single time. And I think that the one thing that Destiny has always done right, much to the reviews, much to the like Reddit posts and all that, their storyline for me has always captivated me and given me sort of like a love for characters that no other game's really ever done.
Yeah, I always was a fan of their... I've always been a fan of Bungie's, just the narratives that they weave. Like, they have some... I was a huge fan of Halo's. Like, I still am.
Yeah.
But more so, I think, when Bungie was in charge of Halo. Like, everything up to Halo 3, I was super into as far as lore was concerned. But yeah, Destiny, it just played a very long game. I think that would be the thing, the one criticism. It's played a very long game as far as their... forwarding of the narrative, but from what I've seen, from what I thought I was going to be seeing in the year ahead, all signs point to yes, and that's a good for me. That's a good thing. I mean, like, because I think that'd be a lot of fun, not just for my opinion, but I think everybody would enjoy it to some degree.
100%. So obviously with like what we've got going right now and going into Beyond Light, there's a lot of things that are going to be changing. Obviously we've got the movement over the next few months or 6 months or however long it is totaled into sunsetting and stuff like that. Obviously, but the one statement that you will see a lot online is that the leveling system is kind of a flawed basis. And for anybody that's kind of like a hardcore player, it's not really in the greatest state. What side of the fence do you sit on with that? Are you happy with the leveling system at the moment, or are you thinking that realistically, come like Beyond Light and stuff, they really should be changing it up?
It's tough to say. I mean, I do think that it's kind of stale.
Yeah.
But when you try to think about a better way to do it, that's when I run into an issue. It's like, do I see that it's not as good as it possibly could be? Yes, I think everybody does. But what could you do differently? I don't know if I have a great opinion on that. I would say that the leveling in vanilla D1, honestly, for me, and this might be a very unique opinion, I love that leveling system. I actually thought that it was... the way that power, maybe not the way that power was structured, but the way you kind of had to wait on one activity over another. And if you could, there was sort of an expedited cycle where you could do these things or really try for these things. Like in that case, it was the raid. Like say you wanted to hit, you know, power cap. I think it was like 30 at the time.
Yeah.
You either had to do the raid and get some raid armor, or you had to wait for Iron Banner to come around for like twice. So over 2 months, you would eventually hit level cap. So you could be really patient and eventually get there, or you had to try to supplement it in with some raid runs that you may or may not finish because it was difficult at the time.
Yeah.
So that kind of element, I don't see it there currently in Destiny. No. I see it more as like, here's a whole bunch of things that you can do. These will definitely get you moving, definitely get you on the right track as far as leveling up. And then after that, we're not going to tell you anything to do. We'll tell you what like pinnacles there are, but beyond that, like, you know, just kind of good luck, you know, like you can do the pinnacles if you can do them. And yeah, if you're just by yourself, good luck. You know, there's no like really easy direct path. I mean, like, think about it. Even if you want to get, say you want to get 100K Nightfall for the ordeal, you know, yeah, which is a pinnacle drop.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can do the strikes. That's one thing, but that's not really that exciting. So, I think the major problem is like the end game activity that really feels like end game activity that does award you the stuff that you need is very difficult to do if you don't have a lot of people to play with, and if you don't, there is an option, but those options are kind of boring. You know, like, oh, you can just go do some strikes, you can go do a few games of Crucible, and you can get a couple of rewards. It's going to be a very slow process, and you're going to get bored of that. Like, if you couldn't go and do a Prophecy or a Pit of Heresy or go run the Nightfall or do a Nightfall hunt, like, if you can't do those activities because they're just a little out of your reach or you're doing them for sort of lackluster rewards, you're going to get bored of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I think for me, it's like it becomes really tedious. I can Obviously, like I used to have like a massive raid team. Like we would always have people available. Obviously, the way that Destiny's kind of gone over the years, like once they've kind of hit their level cap, they kind of just move on to other games. Whereas I kind of stay flat on Destiny, and I love playing the game, so it's a consistent run for me. But I do always end up falling into that basis where I'm like, dude, I can't even get two people to run a freaking a Master Nightfall or go for that 100K or anything like that, and it gets like really really frustrating. So I think for those people who aren't like in the spotlight whatsoever, so like I know if I go live on the YouTube channel, 9 times out of 10 I'll be able to find some people to jump in with me and play with some subscribers and stuff like that. But if you're an average person, like you're just an average gamer, you come in a couple of times a week, you jump onto Destiny, you see all of those flashing lights and go, right, okay, I really want to do that, but I can't do that content. So what do I do now? And their only options are to complete a couple of Crucible games and jump in for some strikes, and that's them leveled out. And I think that's where I kind of struggle with the layout for Destiny on that basis. And I think that I'm hoping that they have been listening the way that they say they have been. And I kind of look into to make those altercations, because in one respect, they really look out for the casual player in loot drops, which is one thing I'll always stand by. Loot drops have become a little bit strange for me, as far as Destiny 2 in its current state. The loot drops don't really make much sense in like relevance to the game mode or the activity that you're actually doing, because they've made it so difficult for you to be able to get into some of those game modes and activities that they kind of been forced into allowing casual players to get those higher weapons and higher armor sets a lot easier. But obviously, for those of you who are listening and want to jump into those Nightfalls, and you are a solo player, Wilhelmscream is definitely your guy. He has definitely got me through a couple of freaking Nightfalls that I was not able to do before. So you definitely want to go and check this guy out on YouTube,
Same.
100%. 100%.
Same to you. Same to you.
I just think for me, like, the community's always been such a tight-knit community. I know it's had its rough times over like the last few months, but I feel like you have to make that sort of example. I can't speak for everybody, but like when I started up my channel was to make a difference. I wanted to be able to help people do things that they just weren't able to do before. So with the whole raids and stuff like that in Destiny 1, it was like ideal. But I feel like in Destiny 2, it's made it really difficult to sort of hit that niche on YouTube now, unless you're Glad or Sweatsicle at the moment. So I think it's a little bit of a detrimental movement, but have you got any sort of like big things lined up for YouTube coming up? Sort of like, are there any like big glitches that you may be looking at the moment that may entice people to want to go over, or?
Well, you know, I'm always kind of keeping. I always have a few things that I'm sort of kicking around. It's the way I kind of always try to think about it is there's plenty of people who will cover, you know, a variety of content either similar to mine or similar to yours, as I'm sure, you know. I mean, you always can find other people who are doing something similar, and I kind of love it. Like I always hope that like somebody will just do something that I did and use it in a different way, because I love seeing stuff like that. Like
So do I.
there was some video I had made where I found like a little, it ended up not being anything, but it was like I found a cave. It was, I think, when the Whisper of the Worm mission came out, and it was just this little random cave. There might have been something in there. I can't remember now, actually. But you know, like Houndish used it, and I was like super excited. I was like, oh my God, you know. But you know, it so things like that, I'm always kind of kicking around, and if I see something on a thing on Reddit or on Twitter or on YouTube or anywhere, I always just try to think, well, like, okay, how could you use this in a different setting where you can benefit not just from knowing the thing, but how to use it? You know, like here's a thing that you can do, an exploit that you can do. But if you don't know what to do with it in some cases or where to use it, you know, it's not going to really help you out that much. I mean, you'll know it, but beyond that, it's not gonna do you much good. So, you know, like for example, say in the Whisper mission, you know, there's like that the kill farm in the green room. It's like, okay, that's good. It's great to know that that's there, but what could you use it for? Well, you could use it to get some catalysts done if you want, you know, things like that. So, you know, it's just sort of making those connections. But, you know, I kind of go, I guess, week to week and just sort of see what is going on, you know, what happens at reset and what if anything emerges. There's always a couple of things that I'll harken back to because some people, I've had a lot of instances where people will, I'll show a video about something and then people will do it like one time, and then like I'll show another thing about it, talking about it later, or make reference to it later, and I'll start getting all these questions again, like, where did you go for that? And I'm like, God, you know, I feel like I covered this already. So sometimes I want to, you know, go through sort of the litany of things that you can take advantage of every week. So I'll always kind of do those things, like you can go and, you know, get a couple of free chests from the Last Wish raid, or you can, you know, if you miss those chests in the prophecy, you can hop back in this way and go and grab them. Or if you want to get a Xenophage done really easily by yourself, the solo, you know, or solo, just the last part of that is a monster of a boss to have to deal with by yourself. Here's how you can go and get that and not have to worry about that boss, you know, that kind of thing.
See,
So.
I think that's one thing that I like really enjoy with your content in comparison to like a lot of others, like including mine, I think to a degree. It's kind of a basis of I make quite a lot of cuts and transitions, and I miss out a lot of like the bits in the middle. I think the one thing that I like really, or at least helps me when I'm doing something that I don't really know, and you are well clued up with it. You've put the video out, and I've gone, right, okay, do you know what? Oh, I'm going to give that a bash. I'm going to try that. And I'll go on there and I'll look at it. And you literally give a play by play from start to finish of how this works and exactly, like, in detail, how you can do it and how it sort of. I don't even know how to explain it. It's crazy. You should be able to explain it because this is an audio podcast, but it's. There's no sort of like cut frames or nothing. You can literally watch the video, follow you all the way through it, and have you explain why you're going to specific locations and what it is that you're going to do when you do get there. And I think that's probably where you differ from a lot of other YouTubers. A lot of other YouTubers kind of like short bursts of this and that and this and that, kind of looking for that comment in the comment section. I know that sounds really terrible, but. Almost feels like they're kind of like, if you want a little bit more information, then come and talk to me sort of thing. Whereas you're kind of like, everything's on a platter. There is, it may well be a 16, 17 minute video that you've got to watch. And some people like it, some people don't. But for me, if I have to watch that for 16 minutes and I can get it done in those 16 minutes or however long it takes me, then more power, man, more power. I don't have to sit there for 25 minutes trying to figure out what you did in between this bit and this bit. So what is it that kind of made you move down that movement of like uncutted content, like that raw footage of I'm going to show you in detail from start to finish how this works.
I think it was honestly just a sort of convenience thing. I guess you asked me that question before, and I didn't really get back to it. I got off on some stream of consciousness, as I tend to do. But I think that's sort of the reasoning right there, is that I am a stream of consciousness kind of guy. I always have been, and I always just feel like I could probably talk at length about almost anything, and I should definitely stop at a certain point. So I always have to stop myself. But I used to do more edited stuff, and obviously I knew plenty about editing, so I could do that. It's certainly an option. But I sort of found that I just didn't enjoy doing that. It started to make it feel more like work, and I didn't want it to feel like work. This was something I was pursuing because it was a hobby that I enjoyed. It was something I had some proficiency at because of those things that I'd done in school, and you know, having worked in media and stuff like that. But I didn't want it to just be an extension of those things. If those things benefited, that was great. But I wanted it to be its own sort of section of my life or of my time, and I wanted it to kind of fit into the hobby style of and just having fun. So a lot of those videos, usually they're me. I've played through something, and while I was ready to do it was like, okay, I know what I need to do these things. I have my little, like, you know, I have my gear, and I have this, and I know what I'm wanting to do, and I'm just gonna play through it, and I'm gonna talk through it as much as I can, and just kind of have fun with it. And if you know, if you mess up, I think it's sort of a humanizing of what it is to be. You know, I think YouTubers can sort of seem unreachable by the audience to a certain extent. Where I just want you to know, I'm just some schlub playing video games like everybody else. You know, I'm just doing this because it's fun, and I hope you're having fun too. And though I'm putting out content, it doesn't mean that I'm a better player than you. It just means that I was looking for something that you might not have found, but you can stumble through it this way like I did, and we'll both stumble through it, and we'll both get to the end together, so to speak. Yeah. So that was kind of, I guess, where I went with it, where it was just like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, record it and have some fun with it and put it out there and see what happens. And that's actually, I think, what maybe people hate about me, but they also, it seems, some like about me, probably hate about me just as much. I as long as I'm having fun and people know that they can just, you know, at any point, I'm pretty reachable. You know, you can come and play some games with me if you want. I mean, it's no thing about being on YouTube or anything like that. And that's kind of, I guess, the way I went with it, or the way I think about it.
I think with, like, obviously, because obviously you were saying, like the thing that people don't like about you. And I think that's, for a YouTuber, like, that's really not hard to hear, if that makes sense. Because, like, for me personally, I get probably just as much, and I'm not gaining as many, like, as much traction as you are, but, like, I think that the community within YouTube is always going to be that way. I think you could do exactly what one area of YouTube wants you to do, and I think you're always going to have that issue there. It's like, especially for me, I can, when I my video process kind of works on an average, either if I've got something that I've found, or if I've got something that I want people to hear or want people to listen to, then I will sit down and I will just start working on that. If I'm kind of like on a bit of a dead day, I'll kind of like look through YouTube to see what's a like Destiny trending topic at that time, things that have come out and released from that day, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, a specific glitch that's released that day, or a specific weapon that we've just had announced, and I've managed to find the files on how you're going to get it later on in the game and stuff like that. And I think you can always find those people that are going to hate on it. So I can put up a video that a big YouTuber has uploaded already an hour before me, and look through their comments and go, man, that's cool, man, that's cool. And then scroll onto my comments and go, Jesus, I am hated. Like, literally. Like, but I think it's kind of that basis of probably not even, because you don't even sound like you're too bothered by it on that basis. You seem quite chilled and laid back with it, so, which is a lot like the way that I am. But I think with that sort of thing, I think eventually when it comes to head, because the traction's already getting there for you, you're plowing through the 20,000s, you're a flipping 5.2 million views. That number is obscene, bro. Like,
I didn't
obscene.
Even know that number. Where are you getting these stats from?
these are legitimate stats. These are Social Blade statistics to this date. You're at about, I think it's 5,220,000 views.
I've heard of Social Blade. I don't think I've ever actually gone on Social Blade, but I've heard of it. Somebody, I think Sorable actually mentioned Social Blade to me one time. It did go on there one time.
But you are doing extremely, extremely well, and more power to you, man. More power to you.
I appreciate it, but, you know, it's all just, I really don't like to take any credit for any of it. You know, I mean, it's just, I think I've just been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for a while, but, you know, I think a lot of it really is, I sort of lend to just the group of people that in the community around me, you know, the other people who have the similar interests. And I've always found all of them really helpful, and everybody really supportive, and having watching other people continue to do stuff yourself. Those are the things that sort of inspire me to want to continue to do it. And, you know, because there was a point where I was kind of getting, it was, you know, I was pursuing it as a hobby, But then, you know, you kind of get a little bored with it. And it was not really a fun hobby anymore. It was like, at first, you know, I was making the videos and it was kind of a new thing. And I was into that whole realm of like, oh, you know, I want to see what I can do with this. And then, you know, after a while, you can get you're editing and you're spending time doing these things. And
becomes repetitive.
It does. It becomes very repetitive. And you're like, I'd rather just be playing the game. You know, so I think after some time I was kind of like, I'm just going to shorten the process as much as I can so I can just, you know, do this if I want to and then go play.
Yeah.
Or go do whatever else, you know. And I think it was also that, like you said, I think no matter how much time you can spend on something, people will be negative. It's just the nature of the internet. And I don't really, you know, I'm less than bothered about any negativity just because it's just the internet, and you know, people are just people on the internet. Nobody's like that in real life, and
no.
Most of the time unless they're really, really negative, I just, you know, I'll say like, hey, come play a game or something like that. Like, you know, you don't have to be angry about anything. We could just hang out sometime if you want some attention. Okay, but we can why don't we play a video game instead of, you know, scream at each other on the internet? So
100%. It's not really
worth it, you know. But
100%. So is, as far as like your YouTube career, and I will call it a career because it is going that way, whether you admit it or not, it is kind of going on that basis of it is eventually going to become a full-time thing for you, and you can see that clear as day. But with that being said, like, are you looking at it as a basis of Destiny is kind of like the future for your YouTube career, or have you been slighted and tempted to kind of like put down the game for a bit, try out some other things and see what other games you can kind of like break into?
Well, there's always other things that I'll play. But I guess, I mean, for the near future, I'm going to continue to just make content for Destiny, because really I, with that and everything else and life, you know, being what it is and having to do all those responsibilities. You know, it's kind of one of those things where if I see if I have a real desire or see a real potential in wanting to pursue and take, you know, more time, or becomes more of an occupier for any one, you know, one reason, say, you know, if it does obviously continue to grow and grow and grow, you know, you'll spend a little bit more time, obviously, as things go on. But I just always kind of try to maintain a fairly pessimistic view of everything. You know, I don't try to look too far ahead, just, you know, do the here and today. But but I, you know, there's always other games that I'm interested in and that I look at, and there's plenty that I've ventured into over the years, but none that I guess have just held my attention so much.
Yeah.
Of course, if people stop playing Destiny for any real reason, I don't know if I necessarily would. But there's other things that I would think about maybe making content for. I made some stuff for Sea of Thieves when that first came out, because I really enjoyed that. Playing with friends the first few days. But then, like everything, you know, your friends kind of leave. So I think I'm sort of one of those people that I go where my friends and the people that I'm playing with often are.
Yeah.
And it's just been Destiny for so many years, because there's a solid group of people who will play that game forever.
It's got a weird drag back on you, hasn't it? So I ventured off into all sorts, GTA, Fortnite, I've played Apex, and like every single time I go away, I'm gone for a little while, and then just get pulled right back in by that freaking gravity that Destiny has around it. It's mental, and I even to this day I can't quite understand what part of it that actually manages to draw me back in every single time.
I think it's the cycle. I think there's actually a very clever thing of every Tuesday and Friday, even if you didn't play the rest of the week, you might check to see what's going on those 2 days. What's the Nightfall?
Yeah.
What's the, you know, what's the Nightmare Hunt? You know, where can I go for Pinnacles this week? Where's the Flashpoint for the week? So those, you'll check on Tuesday, and then on Friday you might check what Xur has. And what ends up happening is people hop on for like 2 seconds to go and check those things, maybe do one thing, and they get hooked up with somebody else who's doing the exact same thing, and then those two end up playing together for a little bit. So every Tuesday, you'll always have some friends playing, at least for a little while. And if you're someone like me who's like, I probably play more than them, but I'm always looking for stuff to do, on Tuesday's the day where I'm like, and let's go. Come on. Oh, you're on for 2 seconds?
Yeah,
dropping you right now. Although I have a buddy who, big shout out to him, my buddy Sinister. He streams a little bit. I think he should stream more because he's like an absolute beast when it comes to like PvE content. But he like, every Tuesday, like he's the guy that I go to and I'm like, all right, we got to get our stuff done. You know, we got to mop it up for the week and then we'll go do other things.
Definitely. It's definitely got that gravity that pulls you back. Now, as far as what's on my screen right now at present, I have got no more questions to ask. As far as I'm concerned, I've kind of delved quite nicely into the brain of Mr. Wilhelm Screen. I've actually learned a lot more than what I thought about you as well, to be honest. I think it's a real eye-opener, like sort of like being able to sit down and ask like people like you these sorts of questions, and I think that's absolutely crazy. But yeah, for now, I think we have just about hit the end of that one. Guys, we are going to do what we do every single time, and we're going to give Mr. Wilhelm Scream the floor for his last word and be able to tell you guys exactly where you can find him. So, Sarah, it's all on you.
Well, I'm glad I've given you a little bit more insight. I hope I'm open enough with everything. I enjoyed all the questions. Thank you for having me here. So much. I really enjoy doing things like this, and anytime I get to talk to somebody else in the community at length about stuff in Destiny and gaming, it's always a pleasure. So really thank you for that. And you can find me at Wilhelm Scream Destiny on YouTube. If you search that, seems to be able to find me. And same thing with an underscore on Twitter. You can find me on there. You'll see me retweeting Cloud Plays here. And that's pretty much it. Otherwise, come by and hang out and play a game on Discord sometime if you're ever on Destiny on PC. Open invitation.
Amazing. Guys, thank you very much again for watching, and thank you very much again for listening. If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit it with the beautiful blue thumbs up and subscribe with post notifications turned on so you don't miss any more of the Crimson Cast or any more of the content we've got going on here. We are obviously available on Spotify, Apple, Google, and any other podcasting station that you guys can find on the internet. Trust me, I've not found one we're not on yet. But if you are on Apple, then make sure you leave a 5-star rating and a review just so we know exactly how you feel about it. Really want to start reading them out at the beginning of the future podcasts. So if you could do that, that'd be absolutely amazing. Thanks again for watching, guys. I appreciate all of your damn faces. But as always, up until the next time, I'll see you in the clouds.